Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, welcome back, family. Thank you so much for tuning in to Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. And this is the Mid-Morning Empowerment Weekend Edition. And at this time, we're getting into conversation on prosperity, getting an understanding of what the Bible says about prosperity. Where does God stand on the issue of prosperity? And what does it all mean? And joining us on the line to help us understand that is Pastor Godswill Gumbo. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, and thank you so much.
Thank you for making time to speak with us, Pastor, as we talk about this. And it's an interesting conversation to have at a time where a lot of people feel like cost of living is going up. In fact, it's not what people feel. It's a fact of life. The cost of living is going up and people are struggling. And then on the other hand, we hear about prosperity gospel and we hear people talking about how, you know, God, you give God a little bit of money, he'll give it back to you and things like that. So it can be a bit of a confusing subject for a lot of us. But let's start with this scripture taken from Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 to 9. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So we see a God who knows how to bless his people with things. But as we get into this conversation, my pastor, what would you say is the biblical definition of prosperity?
Okay, thank you. I would say the biblical definition of prosperity encompasses a lot of things.
Okay.
It encompasses, number one, spiritual well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, contentment. Number three, stewardship.
Mm.
Number four, blessings. Number five, provisions, generosity, and a lot to do with your relationship with God. So it emphasizes seeking God's kingdom and living in obedience and finding fulfillment in him.
Yeah.
So prosperity is, it's not solely defined by material wealth, but it's defined when we now include a balanced and a thankful and also an obedient life. So in other words, it involves using resources wisely, being content with what one has, and being generously blessing to others. So true prosperity, should I say, is found in a relationship with God, aligning with his principles and storing up eternal treasures rather than solely focusing on earthly possessions.
Powerful. I really like the well-rounded definition that you've given, because too often, especially, strangely enough, when we're talking about prosperity as Christians in the Christian context, somehow it always ends up leaning towards the material possessions. So the material possessions are definitely a part of it, but there's so many other things to look at. And I especially liked when you mentioned contentment, because that means regardless of some of those other things, we have to learn to be content with what we have when it comes to specifically our material possessions.
That's true.
Now, the like we just said, the world generally will define prosperity in terms of material wealth. But does material wealth mean anything to God at all?
Yeah, I would say so. How do I say this? I believe God is a rich God, should I say.
Okay.
He owns cattle in a thousand hills.
Mm, mm.
He owns this world. He owns the galaxies. Even when we are told of a heaven, we are told of a heaven where we will march on the streets of gold. I believe God is rich, and he is concerned about his children living a life that represents the God that they worship. So, but while the world often defines prosperity in terms of material wealth, it is important to understand that God's perspective on prosperity goes beyond mere financial or material abundance. Material wealth can be a blessing from God, but it is not the sole indicator of his favor or the primary focus of the biblical prosperity.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's difficult. And when you think about those who don't have that material wealth, those who are severely lacking, it can almost sound insensitive. It can sound almost offensive to think that, okay, so you say God blesses his people with wealth. So does that mean if I'm not blessed with wealth, then I don't belong to God? Does he not care about me? So it is a tricky balance there when we preach about God blessing us with things. But how does the aspect of materialism get in the way of a more wholesome understanding of prosperity according to the Bible standards?
Okay, let me try and say this in short. Mm-hmm. God's blessings extend to various aspects of life. It's not only about money, but it includes physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God cares about every aspect of our lives and desires our holistic flourishment. God does provide for the needs of people.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the Bible, you know, we find examples of individuals who were blessed with material abundance. But those are not the only blessings that we can talk about. You know, peace is a blessing. Love is a blessing. Shelter is a blessing. And also the money, which seems to dim people's eyes on the word prosperity,
yeah,
is also a blessing. So it is crucial that we recognize that God's blessings are not solely tied to material possessions. The biblical emphasis is on the responsible stewardship of resources,
mm-hmm,
contentment and generosity, and even using what we have to bless others. So God's ultimate concern is our spiritual growth, is our character development and eternal relationship with him. So I would say it is important to avoid equating material wealth with God's favor, or assuming that,
yeah,
the lack of material wealth indicates lack of God's blessing.
Mm.
Prosperity from a biblical perspective is a comprehensive concept that encompasses all the things, the riches and fulfilling life in areas guided by God's principles and purposes.
Well, that leads me, well, it doesn't really lead me to the next question. It actually answers the next question that I had, which was going back to what we were talking about earlier, where some people have little, some people have much. How does the formula work? How does God get to decide who he's going to bless with much, specifically talking about the material side of it? But as you've pointed out, that when we talk of prosperity, it's a more comprehensive thing than just one aspect, which is the material wealth. There's so many other things attached to that word. But how are we supposed to relate to our material possessions? In light of teachings of stewardship and modesty and things like that, when God does bless us, when we do have things, whether it's just enough or it's or in excess, when God has blessed us with material possessions, how do we relate to these things, or how should we relate to them in light of our teachings on stewardship and on modesty?
Okay, thank you. In light of teachings on stewardship and modesty, we are called to have a responsible and a balanced relationship with our material possessions. You know, sometimes we as human beings, we end up going to the extremes. But stewardship reminds us that everything we have is entrusted to us by God, and we are to manage it wisely and for his purpose. Not for our purpose, but mm-hmm, for his purpose. God blesses us to bless others. And while on the same note, modesty then encourages us to cultivate contentment and avoiding excessive materialism and extravagant lifestyles. You know, sometimes God blesses you to be a blessing to others, but you end up being a curse to the community because of the blessings that God has given to you.
Mm.
So we should prioritize the needs of others We should practice generosity and use our resources in a way that reflects God's love and justice by viewing our possessions as tools to serve God and bless others. We can even develop a healthy perspective that aligns with biblical principles. So generally, God wants us to use the blessings he has given us to lure or to call people to the throne of grace than to call them to ourselves. Look at Hezekiah. Mm-hmm. When God has blessed him with life, he takes the people and shows them his storehouses. That was a mistake. He should have showed them the Lord who blessed him. So that the people will go and say, the Lord of Hezekiah blesses this man. If God gives man to buy a flashy suit so that people see you, but people should say, for sure, this man lives a life that proves that God still blesses his people.
Wow. Wow. That's a beautiful way of looking at it. And following up with that, from that answer then, suppose I myself am praying for a financial breakthrough. How can I be careful as I receive the gifts from God, as I receive those blessings from God? How should I relate to those blessings in such a way that I don't allow them to become a curse? Like you said, sometimes we take those blessings, things that God intended for good, and we ourselves turn them into curses. How can I avoid doing that as the blessings start coming from God?
Okay, thank you. This one is a very beautiful question. You know, to ensure that our financial breakthrough does not become an idol, should I say, or take over our lives, we need to notice something. First of all, I think let's define what an idol is. I'll give a simple definition. An idol is anything that stands between you and God.
Right.
So for us to avoid these things to become idols in our lives, number one, I believe we need to maintain a kingdom perspective. Mm. I mean, keeping our focus on God and his purpose rather than solely on the financial blessings, and remembering that material wealth is temporal, but the pursuit of God's kingdom and his righteousness is eternal. Mm. That's the first thing I'll say. Then, secondly, I'll say we need to cultivate gratitude and contentment. You know, we need to develop a grateful heart for what we have and cultivate contentment in every season and recognize that true fulfillment comes from a relationship with God, not from material possessions. You know, there are even people who are evil, who have monies. In fact, I've always told people that, do you know that a person who curses God can drive a car that you pray for? And that doesn't mean that God is not blessing you. So we need to be thankful and cultivate a culture of being grateful and contentment to what God gives us. Then maybe thirdly, we need to practice generosity. We need to be intentional about using our resources to bless others and advance God's kingdom. Mm. And develop a lifestyle of giving and generosity, acknowledging that we are stewards of what has been entrusted to us. Mm. And also seeking wisdom and discernment. You know, sometimes when God blesses us, we lose focus on who God is. Yeah. So we need to pray for wisdom and discernment to handle the financial breakthrough wisely and seek guidance from the Bible on how we can use. And that's being good stewards who will help, who will be blessed to help. And even we need to regularly assess our hearts. I mean, mm-hmm. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperate and corrupt. Mm, who can understand it? So we should continually evaluate our motives and attitudes towards wealth. And we need to practice regular self-reflection and introspection that will help us stay grounded and ensure that our hearts remain aligned with God's principles.
Mm. Powerful. Now, as we're coming to the end of our conversation, I'd like us to talk a little bit about the person who is right now still struggling, right? So we've talked about how we need to be careful when, as our blessings are coming through, as we're praying for more and God is blessing us with more. But there's someone out there who is praying and they are struggling. They are struggling to make ends meet. In fact, sometimes the ends are just not even meeting at all. And they're wondering what's happening. They're looking around. Other people are doing better than them. People are, you know, by the world's standards, doing so much better than them. And they go to the same church, or maybe those people don't even go to church at all. Maybe they're not even believers. Like you said, there are some times when there are people who don't claim the name of God and they seem to be doing so well. How do I go through this experience of having little and of struggling for every single crumb of bread, for every single cent I have to struggle? How do I continue to believe in this God who is a provider when it looks like he's providing for everyone else except me?
Okay. I have a few verses that I want to leave for someone who is going through that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 17, the verses 7 and 8, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him.
Mm.
He will be like a tree that is planted next to waters, and that sends out its roots by the stream. It has no worries in a year of drought. Its leaves are always green." Then I'll also remind you of the man Paul. Paul says, "I asked God to remove this thorn from my flesh 3 times, but God said, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" And Paul says, "Because of that, I now celebrate in my infirmities. I now thank God for who I am." In fact, he says, "When I am weak, he is my strength."
Mm.
So to someone who is going through that situation, trust in the Lord with all your heart and never at any point lean on your understanding.
Mm.
And as I finish what I'm saying, if we go to the book of Habakkuk, the chapter is 3 and the verse is 17. This is the man, Habakkuk, the crying prophet, the weeping prophet, as he's closing his chapter. He says in verse 17, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the woods. Yet I will trust and rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Verse 19, "The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon my high places." This is what Habakkuk says. So we need to trust in the Lord, even though the fig trees may not blossom, but let us trust in him. He is the God of our salvation. Thank you.
Sure. Powerful, powerful. Thank you so much, Pastor. Really appreciate your time coming through today and speaking to us about prosperity, about contentment, about God's providence for our lives, and for sharing the word of God through some scriptures there to encourage the person who's struggling, the person who's starting to feel like God is providing for everyone else except themselves. I really thank you and appreciate your time. God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you so much.
What a beautiful lesson on prosperity. Right? Such a beautiful, beautiful lesson, and a balanced lesson as well, especially in light of all the teachings that we see out there. Just turn on any Christian channel, right? You'll find certain teachings that would have you raising an eyebrow like, which Bible verse says that, right? Certain claims that are being made by preachers and things like that, which then leave people disillusioned and disappointed after what they thought would get them a certain result turns out to have been a flop. It was just a scam by, you know, some of these fly-by-night preachers. But we thank God for his word coming through to us through his servant in a balanced way and in a way that is based on the Bible. That's what we give you here on AWR, right? Bible-based content. We're not here to share our opinions. And if ever we do, we will let you know that this is just an opinion, right? But we, as far as the Bible goes and what God says, we really like to keep it straight and strictly to the Word of God and make sure that what we're giving you is found in the Word of God. So I hope that you are blessed by that word and that you're feeling encouraged. And that, as the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, trust in God. Don't lean on your own understanding. And I feel like, you know, like some of the verses that the pastor was sharing there, talking about how the man who trusts in God will be like a tree planted by the water. I think the reason for that description is because when you're trusting in God, sometimes you may not necessarily, by looking at your physical state, looking at the things that are actually your possession, you might not be able to tell. But by trusting in God, you are like that tree that's planted by the river. You are still watered. You are still provided for. You are strong. You are rooted, right? And so just have faith in God and have faith in His providence. And it's so important, going back to that tree by the water, it's not looking to the left and to the right and trying to see what the other trees are up to. It's living its own life. And I think that's a very, very important part. When we talk about prosperity and we talk about contentment, it is so important for us to be intentional about staying in our own lane and sticking to your own life. That's not about shutting off everybody else and kind of isolating yourself. I don't mean it in that sense. I mean it in the sense of, don't look at your neighbor getting a new car and think that, well, how come I don't have that? Don't look at your classmate, the person who was maybe at the bottom of your class, has become the CEO of some multinational corporation, and say, well, where's my promotion? That's not the way that we're supposed to be living our lives. In contentment, you are thankful for what God is doing in your own life, and you're able to clap hands for the next person when God chooses to lift them up. You're able to congratulate them for their accomplishments and for the good things happening in their lives, and you're actually able to find joy in the joy of other people. If you learn to find joy in other people's joy, you will always have joy. But if you're always going to just wait for something to happen in your own life, then your moments might be few and far between. Not because God doesn't bless you, but because you're constantly in the silent, secret competition with other people and trying to make sure that they never have more than you do. That just really sounds like a miserable way to live. And I don't think that is God's will for His people, right? So let's be content with what God has given to us, even as we pray for more. Even as we pray for more, I believe that contentment can go hand in hand with still asking for more. I believe that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can be grateful and still say, Lord, I have room for more. So let's remember that our God is not limited. He's not afraid of our needs, of our desires, of our wants. He is not afraid of those. He's not intimidated by them. So be open with Him and let Him know that you need Him to step in. Let's take a music break. We'll be back after this.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.